good morning. I want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning, and I too want to welcome the many visitors that are here with us this morning, and hope that you can be blessed by being here and worshiping with us. As was mentioned several times this morning already, the thought of the new year, or the end of 2013, is approaching. Two more days left in the year, if the Lord allows, of the year 2013. And it's a natural time to reflect. I think it's just, when we get to this time of the year, it's normal for us to think back, reflect over the last year, things that have happened in our lives, the changes that have affected us. And also in relation, along with that, some of my thoughts have been down the line that was mentioned as well, and that is a funeral this past week on Monday. And I know that some of you were not here. We're not able to be here. But I thought about that in relation to our church, I guess especially, and those of you that could not be here, that I think that at times like this, God wants to use these times to speak to us. There's nothing quite like a funeral death that makes us stop and think, consider, like Jason was talking this morning. I appreciated them thoughts, and especially that definition of consider in relation to not just thinking, not just reflecting, but in the light of change. Consider with the thought of change. And so as I was doing that a little bit, I guess, thinking back, considering, and especially for our congregation here, things that have happened in our group, among us in the last year, and I'm sure that I didn't even try to think of them all. But you know, I think there was other deaths that had affected some of us, maybe not right directly in our congregation, but either relatives or friends from other places. There's been healthy babies that have been born. We have received one. Some of you have gotten married in the last year, and that's a blessing. There's been sicknesses. There's been people in hospitals. There's been healing as well. And we've had accidents, broken bones, and also safety from things that could have been much worse. We've had a couple of fires, and everyone was safe in them as well. And I suppose there's been financial gains and financial losses over the last year. There's been sin committed. There's been sin confessed, forgiven, and restoration found. An instruction class was started in the last year. Young people that want to serve the Lord. We've also had people that have come into our congregation, and we've had people that have left and are no longer with us. But there's one thing that we all have in common here this morning, except for the newborns, and that is that everyone had a birthday. Everyone is 1 year older than they were last year at this time. We have gotten older and we're aging. And we've gotten one year closer to our death. You know, there's a lot of people, it's a natural thing, that resist that. Resist the thought of aging. And there's much advertisement and money spent to try to slow down this progress that's happening to us. There's surgeries, there's pills, there's transplants to try to put off aging. And it's just denial. It's a losing battle. Time goes on. And there's one thing, that's the one sure thing about time, is that it just keeps going on. It is no respecter of persons or circumstances. It doesn't matter if you're having a good time or a bad time. It doesn't matter if you're in tremendous pain or you're in love or you're depressed or you're grieving. Time goes on. Keeps moving steadily on. And I thought about that at Alda Fern's funeral as the children all stood around up here, 13 children. And the last moments to look at their mother's body, to say goodbye one last time before the casket was going to be closed. And the tears were being shed. And it seems like, I've thought of this in moments like that, it seems like that time should just stop. You know, almost out of respect for the situation. But it doesn't. You know, as people stand there, the clock keeps ticking. It keeps moving. And sometimes we hang on to those moments as hard as we can. But we're torn away by that steady pull of time. And soon those things are just a memory behind us. It's the nature of life and time as we know it. Never speeding up, never slowing down. But always moving and pulling and dragging us towards eternity. And so as you reflect back on the last year, you don't have to think too long before your next thought is, to think what the next year will bring. You can't help but wonder what lies ahead in the next year. What will the landscape of our congregation here look like a year from now? If Jesus does not return, will I be here? Will you be here? Will our children be here? You know, our husband, our wife, our parents. Will some loved one be snatched away? Is the thought in the back of our minds. Will our time be over? Now, it's a sobering thought, and in some ways it can strike fear into us as we think about that. When we don't know, I think God in His mercy doesn't show us the future. He keeps that from us. But I think for the Christian, we have a rest. We can have a peace in resting in God for the future. I thought too, in relation, we think of other things that can happen on church level. And you know, will there be church problems? They're everywhere around us. Church problems. And the devil, is he going to get into our midst? Is he going to cause strife? Will some fall away from the faith? Maybe some will repent and be born again. But the one thing that is a fact, we do not know all these things, but the one thing I think we need to remember is that we have an enemy. And that he's busy. And in Revelation 12:12 it says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." The devil knows that the time is short. He wants us to think we have plenty of time. The devil understands the urgency and the shortness of the time that he has to work with. And then do we understand that? I want to read just a few verses here in Romans 13. You don't need to turn to them if you don't want to. It's verses 11 through 14. "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So as we think about time a little bit, and creation, ever since the beginning of creation, and the world has been created, time has been in motion. God created day and night. He created the sun. It doesn't go up and down, but in our life it goes up and down every day. We have summer and winter, springtime and harvest. And our lives just go in a circle. Go in a circle. And we can't imagine a world without time. You know, our lives revolve around schedule and time. We don't even think about it. But just every day, we're just the next thing. It's time to get up. It's time to eat breakfast. It's time to go to school. It's time to go to church. It's time to go to work. It's time to come home and go to bed. And it's just, we're always on that march. But you know, there's coming a day when time will be no more. Like the song says, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. And that's an amazing thought, to think about that. The step from time to eternity. And we're all headed there. And it's because of this reality that makes our time and the use of our time so important. At our house, sometimes we use the timer. Our children maybe have some task that for some reason it's not getting done. And so we set a timer and we give them a certain amount of minutes. And the timer starts to count down and they're expected to have that task done by the time the timer beeps. Goes off. And often when the timer's going, there's an urgency and there's things are happening and the job is getting done, and usually it gets done. But you know, I was thinking about that God has set a timer for each one of us. It's counting down. And we don't know how many minutes are left on it, but it's counting down. And we do not know when our timer will go off. And are we living in that sense, I guess, of urgency of the time? You know, whether we die today or whether we live to be 70 years old, life is short. Is that right, Silas? Life is short. Is there not a marker up here? David, or anyone? Does anyone know? I don't know. It's all right. There's one in that room. While he's getting that, I will, if I can find it here, I have something I wanted to read. With this thought of time. Thank you. First of all, I'll read James 4:14, it says, whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's just, if you think about that, just a poof and then it just disappears. Now that is our life. The picture of our life hangs in the air for a bit. And then it's gone. Forgotten. That is your life. That's Brother Silas's life. On the scale of creation starting here to 2013 here, that is a full man's life on the scale of time. And that's not even considering eternity. If you can imagine that. A full man's life. I don't know if you can even hardly see it in the back. I want to read this poem here. It's called, "How Far Is It Called to the Grave?" How far is it called to the grave? The child looked up from its play. The grave? I have not heard of the grave. It must be far away. How far is it called to the grave? The lover looked up with a smile. How far? From the golden land of love? It must be many a mile. He could not see that his darling, with the bridal flowers in her hair, as he gave her the wedding token, was almost there. How far is it called to the grave? The mother looked up with a tear. The rose in her cheek grew pale and white. Her heart stood still with fear. How far? Oh, 'tis close to the hearthstone. Alas, for the baby feet. The little bare feet that all unled, they're going with steps so fleet, and they're almost there. How far is it called to the grave? It is only a life, dear friend, and the longest life is short at last, and soon our lives must end. But there is one who arose from the grave, who ascended triumph on high. With our trust in him, we'll know no sting, though low in the grave we lie, and we're almost there. This morning, I want to speak about redeeming your time. The subject of redeeming your time. What are you doing with the time God has given you? And you know, my goal, maybe I've made it sound, I'm not sure how it sounded, sounding depressing. But that's not my goal, to make life look depressing and hopeless and to put us all in the grave. But I do want to press upon us the urgency to live our lives to the fullest for Christ and to think about how we are living and not to waste it. Waste it on ourselves and consume it upon our lusts. You know, life is going by and it's happening right now. We need to seize the moment and live it to the fullest. In the text, if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, where most of my thoughts will maybe be coming out of this chapter. I just want to read a few verses, first of all, in Ephesians 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." You can, character, you can just keep your finger there. Keep your Bible open there. You know, redeeming here, the thought of redeeming in this sense here is, has to do with the thought of to buy back or to rescue from loss, if you can think of it that way. To rescue our time from loss, not waste our time. And that one version would have said, buy up the opportunities in redeeming the time. To buy up your opportunities. You know, if you think of time as a currency, we're familiar with money, all the things that it can do. But time is our currency that we are spending on eternity, where we will spend our eternal destination. And a quote says, "The best use of one's life is to spend it for something that will outlast it, that will outlast your life." So we want to think a little bit about that thought of redeeming your time. That same word, redeeming, it's interesting, is the same Greek word used in a few verses in Galatians. I just read them. Has to do with Christ's redemption for us. It says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." And then a little later it says, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, as you think about that thought a little bit, try to think about that as Jesus redeemed us, we were lost or are lost, and He redeemed us back to Himself. He rescued us from loss. As you think of your time, at least as I think of my time, I look back at my life, I feel like I've wasted so much time. And I think for most people, there's at least a certain amount of that we feel. Maybe more, some more than others. We look back at regret. But I think the thing we tell ourselves subconsciously usually is that, we have time to make up for it. Now, yeah, I haven't done so good. I'm not doing so good right now, but I'll get there. I'll make up for it here, and the average will all be good. I'll do better next time. I'll be more faithful next year. But what if my life ended now, today, and I've thought of that? What was my life worth if I was put in the grave today? Has it been worth being born for in the kingdom of God? Are we being profitable servants? Or are we just wasting our time on ourselves and a good life and the things that won't matter? He says here, awake. Quit sleeping. Quit wasting your time. Rescue it from loss before it is too late. And I think if you think about that thought, as he got to the middle of the chapter and he said that, I want to go back now and read the first part of Ephesians. And Paul is talking to the Ephesians and to other churches, to us. And I think the first part of the chapter is how not to spend our time. He talks about how you were at one point, and now you shouldn't be that way. And now you need to redeem your time. Make up for lost time. And so let's read, go back in the first part of Ephesians, that same chapter, and I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read back up to there. And you think about that thought, and the things of how not to live, and the things that we should not be doing with our time. Verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I would like to just look at a couple things mentioned in this chapter that I think are relevant to today. That are enemies, that are robbers, that are leeches of our time. Of redeeming our time. In verse 3, maybe start there, it mentions fornication and uncleanness. And I think we all understand right away that that is a very poor way to spend our time. It's very damaging. But our world is just saturated around us with uncleanness and fornication and immorality of all kinds and forms. And you know, when someone gets caught up in that, it consumes so much of their time. Not only physically, but mentally. In so many ways. And it not only damages the person, the ripples go out and affect many people. And much time is lost with that, but I think we all understand that. But right in there with that is covetousness. Covetousness. An inordinate desire for some supposed good. Having a keen desire for anything. Vehemently desirous. And it mentions covetous twice here. I don't know if you noticed that in verse 3 and verse 5. It mentioned it. A covetous man who is an idolater. And I think that probably one of the root causes for much wasted time in our society is simply covetousness. It drives people to working in excess. It drives people to spending money. And it's idolatry. It goes against the very heart of God. It's a direct enemy of God. It's an opposition to God. And I think our country, our culture, is geared just to cater to that covetousness that is in every one of our hearts if we don't deal with it. People spend their time, their lives, working and going after things and clothes and houses, money, pleasure. And our whole life is caught up in that. And the time and the money spent is wasted. There was a verse in Psalms 10, verse 3. My wife pointed this verse out to me lately. Thought it was interesting. It says, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth." If you think about that just a little bit, I think it speaks of today. You know, covetousness is contagious. That's the one thing about covetousness. And you think of it, it gets real close home sometimes, the Psalms 10 verse 3 verse. And I don't know where all of it's wrong and right. I know we compare notes on what a good deal is and what we bought and which one works and which one doesn't. But I think a lot of our lives, if we're not careful, can be spent in admiring the latest thing, the latest tool, the latest tractor, the latest pickup, the latest material, the sweaters. And if we're not careful, our whole life is subconsciously geared and spent in an effort to obtain this and to obtain that. And it's covetousness. And it works against the kingdom of God in redeeming the time, our time. The pursuit of things instead of the pursuit of God. You know, instead of provoking one another to good works, as the Bible says, we're provoking each other to covetousness. And when we do that, we waste much time. And the whole time we are moving towards eternity. Verse 6 and 7 says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." A couple other verses I thought of in this chapter that I think fit with today is verse 11 and 12. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of these verses here. But I have often thought of these verses in relation to the news. They could fit to gossip. But if you think about it, You think about what the news of today, generally speaking, is. It is exactly this. It is exactly what much of the news is today. Much of the news is they love to dig into someone's life and find some sin, some embarrassment in some politician or some person, some religious group, and talk about it and dissect it and regurgitate it. And that's what news is so much about. And we feel justified because it's news. It falls under the category of news. And I want to be clear that I do read the news some. But I also say, I don't think that all news is wrong. But I'm just making the point that I think we need to be very careful. I think there's many of the mainstream news sites, maybe you guys don't agree with me, but like CNN and Fox, that you should spend very little time on. There is so much filth, hardcore sinful news is what gets the attention of people. It appeals to the flesh. It appeals to our curiosity. And not to mention the immodesty that goes along with it all. And I think it has an unconscious desensitizing effect upon us. And that's not even mentioning the main point here of wasting our time. Even if it didn't necessarily have a real negative effect. An hour can blow by fast when you're on the news. And I think we need to just be honest about it. And if we want to look at the news, we need to figure out a place that is fit to look at the news. I think there is some good things to keeping up with the news. But then, probably the thing that's worse than that is if we find time for the news, and then we hear so often, it's such a struggle to find time for Bible reading, to read our Bibles and to pray like we should. If this is the case, I would just say that we got a big appetite problem. And that we need to get on our knees and we need to ask God to revive us and help us to redeem our time. Maybe the news is something for us middle-aged men, older men. Probably hits us the hardest for some reason. It's probably where we waste most of our time. But I think that, you know, technology as a whole and is a real danger for many, many wasted hours. It can be a blessing. Technology can. But maybe for the women and the youth, maybe it's other things like social networking or Facebook, online browsing and shopping, computer games. And there again, you know, I'm not 100% against all of these things, but I think we need to be honest about them. And maybe we need our husbands to help us be honest about these things. And what are we really doing? And the wives need to help the husbands be honest about the news. What are you doing with your time? How much time are you spending? Is there good coming out of it? What kind of an influence is it making on your life? Or is it just a leech that is slowly sucking the lifeblood out of us? You know, I think some of those things, it's good to just refrain from them for a while if we're not sure. Even if they're okay, just take a break. Sometimes when we do that, our head clears and we see it from a different angle and we make some adjustments. Now, I believe the devil has a lot of different tactics. As we think about the devil that's angry, his time is short, he's doing the best he can with us to take us down. And we often think of him as maybe the roaring lion that is out to get us into some deep vice, sin, murder, adultery, or some addiction of some kind. And that's true. The devil loves to have people there, I believe, to ensnare us in sin. But I think another thing that the devil is perfectly satisfied with, and that is simply if we are poor stewards of our time. Just, we're not doing a lot of bad things, but we're just frittering our time away. The devil doesn't care if you're ensnared in some big deep sin as long as you're not spending it for the kingdom of God. You know, we all have our set times. We all have to go to work. We all need a certain amount of sleep. We all need to eat. And we have our things that we need to do each day. But all of us generally have then a section of flexible time, leisure time. You can do with it as you want. And I think that some of those hours will make the difference between whether we are a mediocre, lukewarm person or a person with power in our lives. I think simply those minutes and those times spent can be the changing factor of the kind of person that we end up being, which ultimately leads to eternity and where we will be there. You know, I thought of that. I think often we get caught up in that idea that what's wrong with it? And I do and have done as well. But I think that we need to be careful about that, because we can pack our day full of things that there's nothing wrong with them. They're just no good in them. And they're replacing things that we should be doing. Okay, I want to move on a little bit and look at a little bit more here in the last part of these verses. Thinking of redeeming our time. We looked at some things that are robbing our time. I want to look at some ways that maybe we can redeem our time in verses 17 through 21. If we look at these verses, I'll read them. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And I think if we could boil it down, and if we could get a hold of one thing in our Christian life besides the new birth, being the most effective way of redeeming our time is in verse 17 and 18. We can redeem our time to the fullest to understand what the will of the Lord is and to be filled with the Spirit. Do we really want to understand what the will of the Lord is in our lives? It's something I have wrestled with in my own mind as I pray that. And you analyze. So often we say that, but we really mean we want the Lord to understand our will. We want the Lord to bless my will. We want the Lord to give His stamp of approval on my will. Are we really open to the understanding the will of the Lord to my life and the changes that it may bring to my life? There's a big difference. We need to surrender our will to do His will. And if our will and God's will every time lines up, no problem. We just go through life and it's just great. You better check your will and God's will. There's probably something wrong. And I don't believe until we have that heart, till we find the heart where we're surrendering our will, that God will necessarily show us His will. Why should He show us His will if we've already decided the course we're taking? Being filled with the Spirit. I think this is one that we often quietly wonder. Nobody wants to ask too many questions. Maybe we're a little unsure or scared of the subject, and I understand that, and I And I humbly want to say I'm not claiming authority on it. But I would like to mention a couple things that I believe about this. And the one is the word here, filled, can refer to the thought of to replenish or to be continually filled or to fill again. And I think it's a dangerous thought to think that somewhere back there at age 13, I was born again and the preachers told me that, well, I got the Holy Spirit. And so I just go on in life. I believe if you were born again, truly born again, you did have the Spirit. But I think that it's a continuation. I think we should pray every day for the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I thought about that, Brother Jason, when he prayed for me, prayed for the Holy Spirit. And I think that is so important in making the difference of how we use our time, as if we are willing and pray fervently for the Spirit of the Lord to be upon our lives and to direct us through every day that we live, and to cleanse us if we need cleansing, and to guide us. I also think, you know, verses 19, 20, 21, is that a fruit of the Holy Spirit? Or is that a way that the Holy Spirit fills us? I think it can be both ways. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And there's just a couple things I want to mention here that I think are really important, and that is giving thanks always. I think it is so important to redeeming our time, to be a thankful person. I think a thankful person is the opposite of a covetous person. When we are thankful, when we're contented with the things that we have, and we're not driven to go chase and spend time and money trying to fill the void in our lives, to be thankful in all things. And then submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That would speak of humility. To have humility. To give up my ideas for someone else's ideas. To work along. This is not a fun or a popular thing, but I believe it's a condition and a fruit of being filled with the Spirit. So as we think of redeeming our time, you know, God has placed us on this earth in this era of time. Let's remember that time is our currency. Let's spend it wisely and carefully each day. Because we do not know when our timer will run out and we will step from time into eternity. Now I'd like to just close with a few verses here. To maybe, you know, sometimes we think about this as a scary, terrible, worst case thing that could happen. And I understand in the flesh we resist death. But I think there's a side that if we're walking with the Lord, there can almost be a longing, in a sense, for eternity. And I want to just read a few verses to encourage us in that, to press towards that eternal goal. See, Revelation 21, the first seven verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Let's have a closing song.